All right, listen up. Before we do anything else, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Let's get our hearts right, guys. Let's be quiet. Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity. We want to thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. It's the reason why we still are living here today, 2,000 years later, and have anything to live for. Lord, thank you for the opportunities you give us here with this church. Thank you for the opportunities you give us with our friends and with our families, Lord, to be a light in a lost and a dying world. And help us just to understand the responsibility that we have with that, Lord. We're never too young to be able to do work for you and just to ultimately shed light and give people the truth. And I hope these youth really understand that with the lives, Lord, honestly, just the responsibility that they have. It's not just up to us as adults, it's up to them as well, Lord. We're all servants for you, Lord, once we accept you as our personal Lord and Savior. Help us just to get our hearts and minds tuned right, Lord, during this time when we're singing. Help us not just to look at these words and just sing the tunes, but really think about what's being said in these songs and really apply them to our lives and how we can grow in our personal relationships with you. We just thank you and love you for all you've done for us, and help our lives be an example of our gratitude and our appreciation, Lord, for your sacrifice, Lord, over 2,000 years ago. But thank God you didn't just stay in the grave, Lord. You rose and you're alive today, and it's the reason why we have hope. And it's in your name we pray. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. So thinking about that concept, talking about the reason why we do have hope, you know, let's turn over to 447. 447, the Lily of the Valley. And I like this song a lot, honestly, just for the upbeatness of it, but also just the concept of it. You think about what a lily is in a valley, it's a bright spot and ultimately in a dark area. And that's honestly our job as Christians in this world. There's a lot of darkness that goes on around here, but at the end of the day, we're supposed to be letting the light of Christ shine through our lives and be that lily in the valley, or basically a tough spot in this world, to a lost and a dying world. So just think about that while we're singing this song, and think about each of these verses that we're singing. Here we go. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole.
Let's speed it up.
In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the
Lord.
Amen.
Thank God we have him.
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000
to my soul. Guess what? He'll never, never leave you.
He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, all the fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll.
He's the lily.
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Verse 3, one more time.
He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me, Lord. While I live by faith and do his blessing.
Hey, that's a promise, but only if you follow.
Know all the fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll.
He's the lily.
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. 3:16, oh, to be like thee.
That's my other one.
Actually, yeah, 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great one because it's something that I know I struggle with, to be like the Lord. And it's definitely something that, as Christians, he wants us to be. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. That's what Christ was. He was the ultimate sacrifice. So just think about that as we're singing this song. Are we like Christ? Think about the ways that we can improve on ourselves to be more like him. It really is a challenge, and it should be a challenge. Christ is perfect. I'm not. So, but there's always room for improvement. So there's always room for growth in our lives. But the question is, are we going to take that time to truly be diligent and seek those things out? Think about sports. You guys have all either played sports or been in plays or done things in music. Isn't there always improvement that you can make on the music or the sport or the activity that you're doing? It's the same thing in our Christian walk. So think about that as we're singing. Oh, to be like thee.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, set thine own image deep on thy heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind.
Is that you?
Helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, set thine own image deep on thy heart. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and heartless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer others to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, set thine own image deep on thy heart.
Verse 5.
Oh, to be like thee while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love, make me a temple, meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, set thine own image deep on my heart.
381, last one, guys. Put your all on the altar. And that's honestly what this life is, guys. It's our opportunity. It's our time to put our all, to put our all in for the Lord. And that's what Christ did for us on the altar. He gave up his all for you and for me. And this is what this life is basically supposed to be used for us to give our all back to the Lord for what he first did for us. So just think about that. That's what this song is talking about. Is your all on the altar? Have you put your all out there for Christ with the life he's giving you? This life is a gift. You know, and so think about that. So, is your all on the altar?
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or deep rest.
If you want to get flipped somewhere, you can flip to 1 Corinthians 7. Anybody need paper to take notes with? Or a pencil? Yes, ma'am. That one might not do you too good.
Sharpen it. Sharpen it with your teeth.
Yep. Beautifully done. Okay.
Or have a knife.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You can take Alex's knife and just... Okay. If it gets cold over there, Alex, you're in charge of those windows. So.
Sounds good.
I'll
let
you do that.
I was
melting, so... okay. It is already recording. Thank you very much. Yes. I know. When Alex is leading singing, we can record the singing. With me, it's like, I just cut it off anyway. So, you know, it's a...
4, 6, 23.
Okay. All right, guys. Let's do a quick recap of what we covered last week. We were missing a oodle of people last week. Yeah, it's all Macy's fault. That she didn't come, so no one else wanted to. So.
Exactly.
Okay. We are covering the topic specifically of, I mean, we're kind of a broad topic of relationships and dating, romantic stuff, you know. And I know that a lot of you guys, after we talked last week, I know a lot of you guys, I mean, a lot of you are young. A lot of you are potentially more interested in dogs than other, you know, people, which is fine. Like, I understand that. But here's the thing, and I'm going to reiterate again why I think it's so important to understand this stuff. Number one, it's not going to be that long. We might have someone in here that's already taking part in the dating, but right, I don't know who that would be. Yeah, I don't know. That guy. Yeah, right. If you're, you know, and so there's a possibility, you know, coming up, you guys get a little bit older. It might be a possibility, might be an opportunity. I don't know. Hope the Lord comes back before you guys can start dating, but I can't, you know, control that. So, number one, it's important for you guys to have that correct information at some point in time. We looked at why it's important because, right, the whole point of dating is to get married. And so, you know, we looked last week at why marriage is important. We looked at how it's important because God planned it, right? Marriage is not a man's creation. Marriage was God's creation. He planned it. He pictured it, which if you didn't hear that, I'm not going to reiterate that. And then lastly, he purposed it. There's a reason you get married. And we talked about fundamentally that it's kind of like a group project. And the end goal is to make it to the judgment seat of Christ with as many rewards as you can as a group, right? Help each other out, push each other, grow each other. And so we talk about how important it is to pick the correct spouse because essentially if you pick the wrong spouse, if you are a wrong spouse yourself, if you have a bad relationship, yada yada, you can really jeopardize your judgment seat. Number one. Number two, who all in here, raise your hand if you have a friend or know someone who is interested in the other gender and wants to date them.
That's a weird, really weird question.
Hey, I word things weird. Yeah, that is, yeah, it's the MO. Okay, so everybody in here knows someone that is interested in pursuing a relationship, right? So you guys, every single one of you has people in your life that probably are searching for answers. If there's one thing kids want to talk about more than relationships, I don't know what it is. There's always, I mean, we'd always sit and talk and share our advice as little nuggets because it was such great advice, right? You know, but we'd talk about it, we'd share advice, you know, we'd do all those things. This is a fantastic opportunity, even if you're not currently, if you're currently more interested in dogs than dating. Like, I have more power to you, but guess what? Your knowledge in this subject, just like any other subject we cover, can be used as a testimony and a witness to other people, right? Where you can speak into situations. I've already told you where, you know, the week after I taught my brother the Genesis 24 principles on dating, he had a guy crying on his shoulder, you know, over a girl, you know, and was able to witness to this kid because of the knowledge that he had. So don't tune me out just because you're not there yet, right? Pay attention, hang with me. Even if you're not interested in it, this is stuff that the world cares about. And so, you know, you as a Christian, you have an opportunity to have answers for them, or you can just stick to knowing what you care about, right? So that's what we're going to cover this week. We're going to a little bit more in depth. And so before we can cover questions like, who should I date? And what are standards for someone that I should date? And, you know, before we could cover all of those specific topics, I want to cover one topic first and foremost. And let me pray before we get in there. So, dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've given us. I pray you'd give us wisdom to see your word today, Lord. In all things, make sure to just be committing them to our hearts, committing them to our minds, and, Lord, not let your word fall to the ground so that we can have answers for the people in our life and answers for ourselves, Lord, and avoid all the pitfalls that are out there in the world and avoid our flesh and avoid our own sinful selves, Lord, and just as best we can follow you. And I pray you just guide this time tonight, get me out of the way, give me the words to say, and help us all have an open heart for what you've got for us. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so before I can ask all those other questions, you know, probably the most common question we got when we put the cards out there was, you know, when should I date? When should I start dating? When should I start dating someone? Valid question, right? But I think there's a question first. A question to ask, right? When you ask, oh, is there someone on there? Oh, Grayson. Thank you, Grayson. Oh, it's Bryson again? Oh, uh-oh. What's his name now?
Still Applesauce.
Applesauce guest.
Applesauce guest. Oh. Okay. That, so the question, when should I date? Right, that implies that you should date. And so that's the first, exactly right. That is the first question I think we need to look at today. Should I date at all? I mean, as Christians, you should build an attitude into yourself that you don't take anything for granted. Meaning that you don't just assume you do something because it's the way the world does it. You don't just assume you do something because it's everybody else you know did it that way. Everything you can get from the Bible, everything principle you can pull straight from the Bible and follow directly from the Word of God, that's the kind of stuff you want to put into your life. And so I think a lot of times we get in trouble, especially in relationships, because you just emulate what you've seen. And what you've seen is bad a lot of times. So all that said, I think let's go back to square one. Should someone date at all? That's you can't go further square one than that, right? So let's look at this. Should I date at all? Now, and before, I'll caveat this first, right? I'm not going to break out the ball. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to get better at it. But obviously right now, your parents, to a degree, dictate whether or not you should date. Okay? So, you know, I'm not telling you that you can listen to this message and go say, Jared said I can date and go run off with a boy or a girl or whatever, and then, you know, all of a sudden your parents are blaming me for disagreeing with them. That's not what I'm doing here today. Obviously, you know, this is predicated on you obeying your parents first and foremost. You know, you might not agree with your parents, but guess what? Here's a kind of a crazy thought. Probably the biggest red flag. I printed three red flags next to this because on my notes, because that's how big of a deal this is, right? Probably one of the biggest red flags that someone is a terrible idea for a significant other is that they disrespect their parents and disobey their parents. Again, look at this, right? If someone disobeys their authority that's in their life, then if they're a man, who's to say that they would respect God's authority then? And if they're a woman, if she disrespects her parents and disrespects the authority above her, then guess what? She'll probably disrespect her husband's authority someday as well. And so, if there's one metric you can measure right off the bat, respecting parents is a big one. So, I mean, I'll save that for a later week. But you get my point. This is not me saying, you know, do this in spite of your parents. This is me saying, yeah, assume your parents give you the go-ahead. Okay, now you're asking the question, should I date? Okay, we are at that spot.
No.
Amen. Amen. Wait a second. Yeah. Bad guy. Okay, so I'm going to lay out the two sides of it, right? Any good debate case, you lay out both sides. I'm going to lay out the case for staying single for the rest of your life like an old hermit. And then I'm going to lay out the case for getting married. And then we're going to talk about, you know, the pros and cons. We're going to weigh it, right? Maybe you guys can be the judge. So let's look at, if you're not there yet, flip to 1 Corinthians 7. Now, 1 Corinthians 7 is probably one of the greatest passages in the Bible on marriage. All the principles regarding marriage. I mean, if you end up someday in a situation where you're counseling someone in a marriage situation, you'll go to 1 Corinthians 7. It's, you know, it's the place that I've got memorized in my brain where we talk about marriage. Bob's principles on marriage, divorce, and, you know, remarriage all comes from this chapter. And so I think it's kind of interesting, before we get into the idea of marriage at all, let's look at this first verse and see what Paul starts off with in this chapter that's about marriage. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof I wrote unto you, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Okay, right off the bat, Paul's throwing down some hot takes. Paul is saying right off the bat, now obviously he's not saying not to touch a woman in the sense that, like, you know, you can't do Christian side hug at church. What he's saying is it's good to not date. It's good to be single. That's literally his chapter on marriage. First thing he says is, like, hey, before I get there, it's good to be single. So that's why we're starting with this topic as well. And I don't know about you guys. The first time I heard that kind of stuff, kind of blew my mind, right? Like, it's good to stay single. What? Like, my life dream is having a family. You can't tell me it's good to stay single. I kind of shook my world when I was a kid, but we will discuss both sides in depth, and you'll get a full picture, and hang with me. It's not as bleak as it sounds, I promise. Okay, but let's look further at this idea of singleness. Now, I will continue to read in 1 Corinthians 7. He mentions a few more things in this passage that I want us to read. So, slide on down to verse 7. We'll read 7 through 9, and then we'll turn the page here in a second. So, verse 7. For I would that all men were even as myself. Paul was single his whole life. He never got married. I wish that all men were as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God. One after this manner and one after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than burn. So Paul right here is telling you, and this is kind of a controversial topic, subject, right? He's saying, yeah, marriage is a gift, but so is being single. Not a lot of people view marriage or singleness as a gift, right? That's normally kind of like this disease that I hope I don't catch. Right? Dear Lord, please don't let me be that guy with chronic singleness for my entire life. Please, please, Lord, don't let me, like, you see yourself almost as defective once you get to a certain age when you're single. You see, what's wrong with me? What's going on? And so singleness is kind of looked down upon, but Paul calls it a gift. So that is the first thing I want you guys to see in the first situation where what you've probably seen, what you've seen in the world, is probably different than what the Bible says. The world says being single means you're alone and no one loves you. Guess what? Christian, God loves you. You're not alone, right? It's a different situation entirely. So singleness in Christianity is very different than what the world thinks it is. We'll continue reading here. Flip the page with me to 1 Corinthians 7, 32. But I would have you without carefulness. What's carefulness mean? Someone help me out here. Verse 32. Grayson. Full of care. Full of care, right? You guys know what's up. You guys are good, right? The common idea of carefulness is it means caution. That's what we use it as in nowadays. You know, if your mom says, be careful, it means, stop doing that stupid thing you're doing. Carefulness in the Bible means full of care. It's kind of another way of saying that you're obsessed with something, you're thinking about something a lot, you're focused on something. That is what he's talking about. So Paul is saying right here at this verse 32, hey, I would have you without carefulness. He would love you to not have to care about some things. What does he want you not to have to care about? Verse 32, again, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Pretty plain and simple, right? There's nobody else you got to take care of when you're a single guy. Maybe you got a dog, but outside of that, you're on your own. You can focus on the Lord. You can focus on doing things for him. But what does it say? Verse 33. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There's difference also between a wife and a virgin, i.e. an unmarried woman. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. He's saying, don't get tripped up by this. Don't freak out. Listen to me all the way. This isn't here to freak you out. This isn't here to make you stress out about something. He's just saying, hey, I'm just giving you some advice. And I speak this for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distracting. The distraction. So I kind of want to do a little visual analogy for you guys. I mean, this is not that complicated, but I just want to think about this for a minute. Okay, so we've got one of your little itty-bitty, we need pink, we need a little itty-bitty, where this is your teenage brain, okay? We're going to call that your teenage brain. Okay, this is what you guys are thinking about. So list off some things to me that you guys care about. If your day gets up, what's one of the first things you think about? What are some things that you get anxious about? What are things you care about?
School lunch.
School. Okay, so we got school.
Afraid of it?
And then we've got, like, We've got lunch. Okay, so texting, but who are you texting? Right? Your friends? So we got friends.
See him at school. What's got to text about?
Okay, what else? What are family? Okay, so we can have a family chunk in here. That's probably a big chunk. Okay. What else? Huh?
Getting ready.
Drugs? Getting ready? Okay, yeah. Just like I don't know what the word is. Like, I'm just going to put getting ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
GQ.
Okay, appearance.
Future.
The future, yes. Okay, your future. You know, that's spoken like a true senior. All you're thinking about is get me out of where I'm at now. This stinks. Okay. What else? Someone give me some more. We got to fill this thing up. Huh?
Praying.
Okay. Praying.
You got to make that a little smaller.
If we're making it realistic, yeah. Okay, what else?
Grades.
And it falls under school. Okay, what'd you have?
Testimony?
Okay, yeah, we can do. Okay, what else we got?
Their crush.
Okay.
Struck a chord. I love my dog.
Okay.
All their cheeks get red.
So we got a crush. Okay.
A crush. Oh no.
Okay, so this is officially starting my case for singleness, okay? This is a debate I am presenting. I don't know. Do you have like a move that you guys do when you're up to debate?
No, you just stand there.
I didn't pay attention in debate. I just debated. So, you know. Okay, so here's my first. It's my first thing. Okay. Now, obviously, there's a lot of things you guys care about in the day. There are a lot of things that are important you care about. Okay. Here's my first case for singleness, and here's something that you got to realize. This is fundamentally. Dating someone, starting a relationship, is very expensive. Mm. Yeah. And we talked about that before, financially especially, but you know, like, it's rough. You know, it's rough. But Jordan, that's why he makes the good money.
And, you know. I don't have a job.
You don't have
a job. Still his girlfriend has a job.
That's why Woody's big guy is clear. So, here's this issue. These are all these things you care about. Your days are filled up, 24 hours of whatever. And now imagine you add a boyfriend in there. Guess what? Remember my lesson on carefulness, where you have a finite amount of things you can care about? Okay, if you add a boyfriend to the mix, or a girlfriend to the mix, what do you have to do then? You have to care about them, yeah? So, guess. Here's what happens, right? A lot of times, we'll do red, you know, just this big old blob turns into...
Not the school lunch.
Yeah. Right? Oh, but no. But at school lunch is when I get to see her.
That's just
okay. Like a smiley face.
Yeah. Hey. Okay. Don't judge. Okay. We're moving on. But here's this issue. You guys have seen this happen. When you have a friend and they get a significant other, do you see that friend as much?
No.
No, they go for the hills, right? You never see them again. Or if you do, it's not the same, right? It's never the same. You know, and maybe it is if it's like a weak relationship. But if you've ever met someone get a serious relationship where it's like, I mean, potentially going all the way, after a while, they kind of, you know, the relationship's a little bit different. Now, I still maintain my relationship with friends ever since I've, you know, gotten married. I still have those friends, but it's not the same as when we used to stay up at 3 a.m, like chugging Mountain Dews in my friend's bathtub because we thought it was hilarious. You know, like, I don't know. Like you don't do that the same when you're like, you know. So here's the issue, okay? Think about your days. Now think about how much of what you care about you actually need to care about. And now think about how much of your day you could give to the Lord. Now I think by the time you get home, I'm not going to make you guys like draw a chart out or something, but imagine a pie chart of your day. If you, I don't know, you're at school for like 8 hours, it takes like an hour to get ready, you need like a couple hours for food. I think by the end of the day, you're left with maybe like 5 hours on a school night that you could do whatever with, if you're lucky, right? That's assuming you're not doing any activities. That's assuming you don't have any friends. That's assuming it's not a Thursday and you're at youth group. It's assuming a lot of things. Now imagine you add a significant other to that mix, right? Now, automatically, you're looking at spending an hour, 2 hours a day, right? And even if you're not hanging out with them that much a day, how much are you thinking about them? How much are you caring about them, right? I don't know about you guys. When I was young, I mean, it was like, it was head over heels for like half of high school. I mean, dude, it was a mess. I dated so many girls. Band is just a cesspit of like, but they were, it's, no, Kenzie?
Kenzie's the one that got married.
You gotta understand, yeah. I feel like she won. You gotta understand, Kenzie was there along the way, so she gets it. But I was an idiot. I mean, they all lasted like 2 days because they were scary, crazy chicks. But, and I was totally perfect. I was totally, hey, what guy hasn't chugged a Mountain Dew? Okay,
in the span of 9 minutes.
That's disgusting.
Out of the basement.
That's not right.
That's
how you end up with health conditions.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm
okay. Do you guys see now how concerning that is, right? That, hey, you just maybe by having a relationship gave up 50% of your time that you could be spending on the Lord. You might have just given up 50% of that just to have that relationship. Now, if that's what you're expecting and that they're the one for you and you are 100% positive it's biblical and spiritual and worth it, then maybe it's an investment worth making. But especially when you're young, I mean, let's be real here. Someone throw out some ages when you think it'd probably be about right to get married. When would you get married? 30, what age?
18, 20.
30, 18, 18, 20, 25,
25,
25, 25, 25. Okay. 25. So let's imagine, let's say, like, we got married, she was 21 when we got married.
Wow.
Let's imagine that. Yeah. Hey, she was 21 when I was 22. Just barely. 22 and a half. Okay, so let's say 21, 22. Okay, here's the issue. Imagine you start dating at 15. How many years does that mean that you're dating this person?
Seven years.
It's a long dang time, right? Now, look at the cost on that. You are now paying that cost for 7 years. Now, maybe it's worth it in the end, maybe it's not, but is that something that you take into account? I think that's a lot of times when we think of relationships, we just follow our heart. Follow your heart. That boy was cute. That girl's cute. I'm going to do this thing, but do you count the cost before you do that? It's the same thing that you guys do, but I know that you guys think about it before you take on an activity, right? You're not going to take on a new sport or something new like that if you don't think you have the time to give to it. You'll do that. You know that it's not spiritual to give up Thursday nights for ice hockey. I don't know. You know that it's not spiritual to give up, right? But do you think about that same cost when you think about relationships? That's something that's important. Another case for, you know, and I'm not getting there yet, but another reason why you probably don't want to date when you're super young, marriage, made by God, beautiful, glorious, God will help you, it's a wonderful experience. Dating, made by man, it's not the Bible, it's not biblical, it is a construct of man. Now, don't get me wrong, like, there still has to be some way you, like, get from point A to point B. Like, I'm not exactly suggesting that you do, like, prearranged marriages with your parents. But what I am saying is that dating doesn't have the same blessings, it doesn't have the same promises, it doesn't have the same commitment that you get that make marriage work. Marriage works because of, number one, God inside of both of you, and number two, the commitment and the covenant that you form between the two of you. Dating does not have those protections. It is fundamentally made by man, and therefore fundamentally flawed. And so, guess what? You spent 5, 6, 7 years dating someone, that's risky. Dating is dangerous. Fundamentally, dating is, I would consider it very dangerous, because you are essentially giving more and more to this person. As the longer you date, the longer you date, the longer you date, what happens when they start shoving out the Lord? Right? And now all of a sudden, they want to do something that's, you know, reserved for married people. They want to, you know, like, the physical side of the relationship is something to be concerned about. If you date someone for 5, 6, 7 years, it is very difficult to keep things between the lines. And so I'm just giving you the honest, the fact of the matter, right, is that dating itself is full of traps, it's full of pitfalls, it's not arranged and made by God. There are principles you can do to protect it, there's principles you can use to protect yourself, but you don't want to stay in it forever. you want to get there, you want to find out that person is the person that, yes, I have confirmed all the things I need to confirm, and then you need to make a commitment, because at the end of the day, hanging out and dating is risky. And so that's why I'm bringing this all back around, and we are talking about the idea of, kind of when we should date, and this is one part of that. Hey, if you're, I think 15 was the youngest we talked about last time. If you're 15 and dating, right, you have to date someone for a really long time. And so not only is it risky, but also you are giving up a large cost. So let's think about this some more. Okay. You guys, we've talked about this before, are in a very cool spot in your life, and you don't realize it yet. Okay? I'm a youth guy, okay, I get up to stand up here and talk to you guys. Do I get to walk into a school and sit down with a 13-year-old girl and witness to her? No. I don't. That is a one trip to jail. My jail ministry will become permanent if I try to do that, right? I don't get to have sleepovers with 14-year-old dudes. But you get my point. I don't get to do those things. Guess who gets to do those things? You guys. And guess what? When you graduate in 3 months, when you graduate in 2 years, when you graduate in 4 years, you lose that ability too. It's a temporary thing. And so let me ask you, is it worth it then? I mean, I'm not saying it's not something you can pull off. I'm thinking that there are biblical ways of doing it. But just, are you counting the cost, realizing that you are in a specifically beautiful situation to witness to some of the most open, the most open-minded, the most young, the most fresh, the least corrupted people in the world? How much of that do you want to sacrifice to pursue a relationship that you can't even marry them for 7 years? Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. Listen to me carefully. I am never going to tell you a date or an age, or a time, or a specific rule when it comes to that kind of stuff, because there isn't one. And we'll talk about it later. This all falls under liberty. And so, that you can't make a law here. I'm just asking you, hey, before you do something like this, count the cost. Capiche? Everybody driving where I'm kind of thinking about? This goes back to that idea of, Paul talking about the gift of singleness. Here's the gift of singleness. Okay? Here's the gift. Is that if you want to,
amen,
that can be your life.
Amen.
It can be every single one of your lives.
Amen.
It can't be mine. You realize that? Because guess what? Okay, now, I have a wife. Hey, that's a beautiful thing. And I will talk marriage up here in half a second. Marriage is a wonderful thing. We'll get there, okay? Well, let's think about this wife, okay? Well, first off the bat, you can't just blow off your wife. It doesn't work that way. You know what? And guess what? Sometimes, fellas, what your wife needs isn't, something that you enjoy. Sometimes your wife needs you to, maybe she's stressed at work, she's having a real rough day, the family's coming, the in-laws are showing up. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe the family's coming. Guess what? Your wife is just stressed out because she can't get to the dishes. Guess what?
Leave them.
Guess who gets to do the dishes, right?
Baby.
So, yeah. We don't have the baby yet, okay? Follow the analogy here. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, right? So now you have to deal with that. And guess what, okay? Then guess you have a baby someday. Hey, that's a lot. That takes... So maybe if my wife takes an hour a day, the baby takes an hour or two a day. Now, here's the other crazy stuff that you have to think about. When you're a single dude, I'm not going to lie, when I was in school, right, I could just come home, whip up some mac and cheese, and go about my day. But, you get married, you're like, well, maybe we shouldn't be eating like trash, so you spend more time cooking, and then, so back in the day, I didn't own a car with AC until I was like 27, okay? I drove like miserable hot cars in the miserable hot summer all the time. That's cool and fine until all of a sudden I have a baby now and our AC goes out in our car, and guess what? Now I need to go fix the AC. And now, okay, the house's AC is down. I got to go fix that because I can't let my baby, die. I mean, that's not kosher, you know? So guess what? I have to now care about the house because I've got to make sure that we can, you know, keep that baby alive. And I now have to care about, you know, making sure our car is safe because, you know, fundamentally I can't, like, I don't know, like the heat would do bad stuff to a baby. And, you know, I've got to care about all these things now that I can't give the same amount to the Lord that you guys can give. Not even close. I mean, it's probably like, I mean, think about hours per day that we can give. I remember one point in time talking to Zach. Now, I'm in easy mode because she doesn't really take that much effort. But you get to, you know, Zach's age where you've got kids that are, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They require a ton of time. I mean, that's like half the reason why he's not here anymore, right? I remember him talking about, I asked him once, I'm like, how do you get these lessons together every week? Like, how much, you have to spend so much time to get these lessons together. And he told me, he's like, brother, I get my verses in the morning and sometimes that's all I get because the family just needs me that much throughout the day. You know, and that, I mean, he did amazing stuff with it. It's a testament to what the Lord will do in your life. But you see the difference. You see how much of a blessing you are in right now. Now, a lot of people like to take these verses about the blessing of singleness and, you know, the idea that it's better that some people stay single. They try to make it this big thing where, you know, some people are just meant to be single and some people are meant to have relationships. So, you know, they imagine like God's going down the line. Married, 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 single, 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 married, single, single. And then just like your life, you're doomed to be whatever, a spinster, or you're doomed to get married, or you're whatever. People get this idea that, you know, God is like basically doing predestination, but like for matchmaking. And it's not the case, and we'll get there in a second. But I want you to realize, you know, your obsession shouldn't be, am I one of the people that needs to stay single? Am I one of the people that needs to get married? That's not the question. The question is, hey, while you're single, while you have this gift, what are you going to do with it? That's where you guys should be at. You shouldn't even be on the dating step yet. Let me see here if I can look at this. So, I mean, color up your points, right? Think about the Bible. Think about who was single in the Bible. Jesus, Paul, John the Baptist, who is considered the greatest man that ever lived, according to Jesus' own words. Okay? All single. All the apostles. Single. Died single. Do you think they could have done the same work that they did if they'd been married?
No.
They're just food for thought, right? I don't think they could have. Fundamentally, I mean, I don't think going off to your death with your wife in tow would have been very easy. You know, they would have been hindered in that relationship because they wouldn't have been able to care as much. And so, once again, we'll talk up marriage here in just a second, but it's just something to think about. This is what it looks like that, you know, sometimes you can get more done single in a certain way. Now, we'll talk about the perks of marriage here, but, you know, knowing what I know now, a lot of times, I wish I could be in your guys' shoes again. I really do. I really, really do. Because it's frustrating to try to witness to high school kids as an old fart sometimes. You know, I can't just walk up to a high school group and, hello, fellow younglings, and, you know, talk to them. I would love to be in your guys' shoes. It is, you think it's hard to witness to your friends now. You think it's hard to witness to all the kids in class. You think it's hard. Look, it doesn't get easier. It gets a lot harder as people get older. Because guess what? Now they've been set in their mind for 15 years, 20 years. Now they've been corrupted. Now they've been burned out. They've got baggage. It's easiest to witness to kids when they're young. Get them before they got that baggage. Get them before they've got those troubles. And I'm jealous sometimes of the fact that you guys are still young and in school that you can do that. Because that's something that you're going to lose. And so I would just encourage you, right? Now that you're single, like, spend less time worried about who you want to date, what you want to do there, thinking about that stuff like I did. I spent all my high school just worried about girls and which girl was this, which girl that. Spend some time just going as ham for the Lord as you can. Just pedal to the metal, just go hard, mm-hmm. and see what you can get done. Mm-hmm. And then guess what? Here, and this is the dumb analogy. I hate using this because Laodicea used this analogy a lot. But right, if you're going pedal to the metal, now when I'm driving like slow grandma, right? You guys know I drive slow grandma. Mm-hmm. When I'm driving slow grandma, when I get on the interstate, I always end up kind of next to someone that's going my same speed. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. Because I go the speed limit, it's like, it's very easy. I always end up finding someone that's going the same speed as me, pretty much. And I always name them in my head. It's like, I'm always so excited. I had one the other day. I made it all the way from like, how far? I almost made it all the way back from Arkansas with like Gary. and he was my dude. We were like, you know, and then when we finally like passed, I was really sad actually. But here's the kind of the thing. If you are going ham for the Lord, and you are going as hard as you can, and you have your brain looking like that, and not like what we had on there before, then if you look over to the side and there's a cute girl going the same speed as me. Oh, wow. You know, guess what? Hey, maybe that's a cool time to take a gander at that person as a potential, you know, significant other. But the cool thing is that they're going the same speed. They're going the same way you are. So if you're going hard for the Lord, you're naturally going to be drawn to, and people that care about the Lord are naturally going to be drawn to you. It is, you know, you don't need to worry about it. So you just got to focus in singleness on going as hard as you can for the Lord. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But the more you think about it, the more you worry about it, the less good you can do in the spot that you're at. You're essentially wasting that singleness. And so let me kind of go fast here through marriage. So flip back one page again. I'm going to now present the case of marriage. Okay, I know I've beat up on relationships for like 20 minutes now. Let's go back around. First Corinthians 7, verse 2. Nevertheless, I'm going to start in verse 1 again just so we can kind of pick up where we left off. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote to me, it is good for man not to touch a woman. Hey, it's good not to date. It's good not to be married, whatever. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Now, I always have heard people try to teach that verse saying that, well, the point of marriage is just like, you know, if you can't keep it in your pants, then go ahead and get married, right? That's what that verse is talking about. Fornication is doing things for married people outside of marriage. That's what fornication is. And so people, I've heard them teach that passage and say, well, that's, you know, just, you know, I guess if you're not strong enough to be single, then go ahead and get married. That's not at all what that verse is talking about, okay? What it's saying there is don't stop people from getting married. Because otherwise you'll end up with issues with fornication, right? That's how you end up with the Catholic Church in the state that it's at, with all its bishops that are supposed to be celibate that are not celibate, right? I don't know. The shoe fits, right? And so, you know, what's that verse saying? Hey, it's saying that, you know, hey, marriage, you can't prevent people from marriage. Marriage is not something that is wrong. It is not something that is wrong. You know, another reason I know that it's not just to satisfy our lust. Hey, marriage was created before lust existed. Adam and Eve were married. Wait, we looked at it last week. There's a purpose for marriage. You know, and so what this is, you know, this passage is getting at is that you can't restrict it. And so that gets into liberty, and we'll get into there in just half a second. Now, the point here is that marriage isn't a bad thing, right? I don't want you read these passages from Paul, and I'm not going to lie. First time I read 1 Corinthians 7, I was like, dude, he's dogging on marriage. He makes it sound terrible. He makes it sound like, you know, if you're not single, you're letting the Lord down. That is not the case. What did we look at last week? God made marriage. If he didn't like it, would he have made it for you? No, okay? God made it. He purposed it. He planned it. What the point is here is, hey, if you're going to do it, if you're going to get married, be 100%, 15,000%, 1,000,000% positive, right, that this person is the good group partner that we talked about. Make sure that you aren't better off single by marrying this person. Make sure that they're such a good person, and make sure that they're so spiritual, and make sure that they're filling all the roles and meet all the requirements and doing everything they're supposed to do. Make sure the Lord is so in that relationship that, you know, it's a benefit to marry them, and not, you know, the Lord's going up in heaven and going, man, I wish they would have stayed single. I had work for them to do, but now they married a bozo, and now I can't give it to them, right? Be double sure. You know, and there's examples of married couples in the Bible, actually, right? You know, I just gave a bunch of examples of guys that were single, but there's examples of married couples, too. 1 Corinthians 16:19, I'll just read this to you. This is about a married missionary couple. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. There is a church couple, like a husband-wife missionary team in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, called Aquila and Priscilla. They've got a house church, and Paul, they were a part of Paul's ministry. Let me read the next passage that they've got here. Actually, no, let me go back to that for a second. So yeah, they had a house church. They had a ministry together. You know, that's a sign of a good marriage that you can have a ministry together. You know, think about that the next time that you're thinking some girl is cute or some boy is cute. Could you start a house church with them? Would they be man enough or woman enough to start a house church? I mean, I'm not saying that everybody's got to start a house church someday. What I'm saying is like, could you? Like, are they spiritually with it enough? Are they mature enough? Or are they just cute and in your math class and you're bored? So you got to have something to think about, right? Acts 18, 24 through 28. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently in the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So there's this guy that comes in, Apollos, and he is he's on fire for the Lord, but he's got it wrong. He doesn't know about Jesus. He doesn't know the things that Christ did. And so he's running around preaching the baptism of John. What do Aquila and Priscilla do? And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, well, I'll save the rest of that verse, but this couple knew their doctrine. This couple was out there, and they were able to explain and expound doctrine to people. That's another one of those ones. I'm not getting into the requirements for a significant other yet, but hey, you know, could you and your cute little kid in math explain the Bible together to someone? No, I don't know. Could you imagine seeing that someday? And then we see even later, at the end of Paul's ministry, that Aquila and Priscilla are still around in 1 Timothy. And so they're solid to the end. I mean, hey, you want a case for marriage? Look at some of the people, even in this church. Look at the people that have stuck it out. Look at the people that are awesome. Look at people like, you know, Caleb's dad, Jordan's dad, right? And you guys, you know, John and Pam, Bob and Barb, right? Hey, you know, I beat up on singleness for a long time, but think about all the people that have worked in your life that are married and have that ministry together and were able to do something because of it. Obviously, I'm a big fan of it. You know, I like to think my papa, him and his wife, you know, my Grammy, she passed now, but they had 6 kids and they were really good Bible teachers. My grandpa's a really spiritual, really biblical man. And so they had a bunch of kids, and then all of their kids had a bunch of kids. And so now, when Kenzie married in 7 years ago, she was the 71st cousin. And now I think we're on like 80 or 90 something. And I would say all but maybe like 2 or 3 of them are saved. And you got a couple pastors out of the group, and you got a bunch of preachers out of the group. And so, I mean, think about that legacy. This one marriage spawned 90 missionaries. With my family, I've had missionaries in China. I've had cousins that have been missionaries to Kenya. I've had cousins that have been missionaries to wherever, right? Think about the impact of one godly man and one godly woman raising a family biblically. So that's the flip side. And what I want you to understand here is, okay, now, Jared, you're confusing me. So do I date or not date? Like, you just dogged on marriage for 5 minutes, and then now you propped it up for 5 minutes. Well, the answer is, with a lot of things, it comes down to liberty. Now, let me explain liberty for half a second. Liberty is, I'll just go with one verse right now. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Someone explain that verse to me. We've talked about expedient before. I know we have. Someone got a shot. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Caleb?
All things are, the things that are expedient are the things, like, nothing comes quick. Mm-hmm. And you basically have all of your walk through God, you wait on him, basically.
Okay, kind of. Yep. Jordan?
What's good for you?
Exactly, what's good for you, yeah. Yeah, so you can do anything a lot of times in the Christian life. God doesn't stop you from doing anything. The question isn't, can I do this? The question is, what should I? The question is it wise? So that's the question you guys should be asking. It isn't, when can I date? It isn't, you know, where's this line so I can walk right up to it and, you know, all of a sudden cross this magical barrier and all of a sudden do these things. The goal that you guys need to be asking is it wise? Is it biblical? That's what you guys need to be checking. And so you can date and marry. That is cool. That is okay. That is fine. I'm a big fan of it. Right? But is it wise in your situation? Have you counted the cost? Are you okay with that cost? You know, am I is that person that I'm interested in going to be a good partner at the judgment seat, or am I going to regret marrying them at some point in time? You know, am I dating this person to make myself happy? That's a bad reason to date someone. Am I dating this person to not be lonely? That's a bad reason to date someone. Am I marrying this person to fulfill myself? Guess what? Marriage doesn't fulfill you. As a guy that has, I will fight anyone that thinks they have a better marriage than me. I love my marriage. I love my wife. It's like the only time in the universe that a like 4 is married to 10 and it like was all good. Right? But, you know, I married my best friend. There's been nothing but blessings. I couldn't ask for anything to be better in our marriage. It does not fulfill me at all. I mean, there's some fulfillment that comes from it, but you got to understand that we as God's children get fulfillment from God. We Amen. Don't get fulfillment from other people.
Amen.
And so fundamentally, if you were dating people to be fulfilled, if you're dating people to fill some hole in your heart, if you're dating people to have fun or whatever you're thinking, you are doing it for the wrong reason. And in that situation, you shouldn't date. Okay? That's where you need to draw that line. Now, marriage is great, but you have to understand the end goal. You have to have a biblical aspect to it. You got to be wise about it. You got to be okay with the cost. You got to think about it. A lot of things in Christian life, we just kind of breeze through and don't think about. Marriage is not one of those things that you can just wing. You have to consider it heavily because it is a permanent decision. We will look at that in a couple weeks, but in the New Testament, there's not biblical grounds for divorce. There's not, I mean, there's reasons and it happens and it's okay. You know, you can't be a stickler on that kind of stuff. But you got to understand, it's supposed to be permanent. You know, and you know, not just permanent on this earth, but I'm going to have judgment seat implications as well. And so it's not something to be taken lightly. So be serious. Now, you can stay single, too. And that is a good thing, what we just talked about. But I can also stay single and fill my head up with video games. I can fill my head up with dumb stuff. Here's the thing. When I was single, this is what I filled my head up with a lot when I was young as a Christian. Like, half of my head was, oh man, I don't want to be single. Please don't make me be single, you know. And so I was worried always about finding a significant other. So I wasted all my gift of being single on wishing I was in a relationship. You know how kind of dumb that is, right? You have a blessing right now. Don't burn that on something that isn't even here yet, right? And so there's no law, there's no rule, biblically speaking. Now, obviously, you obey your parents, but there's no law, there's no rule, biblically speaking, on, you know, whether you should date, whether you shouldn't date. But Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God. Okay? Can you date this person out of your relationship with the Lord? Can you date them in a way? Can you choose whether you're going to date or whether you're going to stay single out of your relationship with the Lord? I'm going to stay single because I want to focus more on the Lord. I'm going to date this person because, you know, I believe the Lord has that in my plans. But are you even bringing the Lord in on those plans, right? You should be able to, in any situation, you know, bring the Lord in on those plans. It's not just you. And then lastly, Philippians 4:11, for I have learned whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content. So it doesn't matter if you're single, right? Your goal is to be content and book it for the Lord as fast as you can. And just figure out the marriage part later when the Lord drops it on your lap. We will talk more about that when it comes to Genesis 24. But I just wanted to spend some time today and kind of get you guys to think about this, that, you know, a lot of times we just imply that we're going to get married. A lot of times we just, it's a understanding that I'm going to get married. You've never even thought about, you know, well, have you ever thought about like using your singleness while you have it to do something for the Lord? Or is your end goal in life just to be a spouse? That's a good goal. But are you wasting your gift now thinking about the gift you're making later? Maybe, if the Lord brings it to you. I don't know. So, let's close out there.